The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell DC, interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live today, bringing you some very interesting information with somebody who is amazing relative to putting out all kinds of data. But nevertheless, you know, we try every Sunday to bring you things that you need to apply to optimize your health. And that's why we do the program. That's why we do Dr. Tom Rozell Live. And so what are we talking about today? We're talking about coronary disease and strokes and things of that nature and how they actually come about, but more importantly, what you can do about them before they get to the place where, unfortunately, you don't have any more time and they take you out. So we'll talk a little bit about heart failure and cardiomyopathy and tachycardia and things of that nature. But so many of you are on medications simply because that's the thing that traditional allopathic medicine does. Wouldn't it be great to be able to find an option, an alternative, and really to understand how things come about? Well, in the studio of my home, lower down into the bowels of the Rozell Center, is Dr. Scott Lamb. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
You know, this is a process of identification, if you will, more than anything else, because by the time many people find out that they have arterial problems, whether it's coronary arterial problems or if it's cerebral arterial problems, it's too late. They're dead. Right. And, you know, there's no second chance. It's about recognizing what's going on and then doing something about it. But we see patients in the practice that are on so many different types of medications. And unfortunately, the medications are far more dangerous than some of the symptomological patterns that they put them on for. So let's start in the beginning.
Exactly.
Heart disease is the number one killer.
Yeah, it's one out of four people that usually, if they succumb, is usually going to be some type of heart disease that's associated with it. You're talking about close to $400 billion in costs of taking care of this along with strokes. It is by far one of our major concerns. And it's interesting is that there's a lot of things we can do something about it. But we have to change a lot of our lifestyles. And, you know, we talk about the process of being structured, chemically, emotional. It hits all three of those things, or those things that we hit in our office. Strong part of chemistry, and even, you know, even subtle things that you might not think about heart disease. Like, let's take an example, like osteoporosis, for example. You think osteoporosis, I'm not getting calcium into the bones, but you might be getting calcium in your arteries. And that's another kind of like, some subtle things. Really look at your full history of your body. Even digestive problems can be a cardiovascular element. Even a right shoulder versus a left shoulder can be a cardiovascular thing. There might be subtle hints that before you get that heart attack, which they call the silent killer, that takes you and takes you out.
You know, the interesting thing, the combined totals between cardiovascular disease and cerebral disease, right, is huge. And even to, you know, to the place where we're talking about something in the neighborhood about 840,000 deaths per year in the United States. That's huge. And, you know, we need to really pay attention to that. You know, we're all crazy right now because of COVID, and it's, you know, we're talking about 130,000 deaths, but that's after the numbers have been massaged. My opinion, you know, that there's comorbidities are involved, that we take that away. But on an annual basis, every year, we're talking about 840,000+ deaths a year. And the cost to society, the United States, is in the neighborhood of about, you know, $350 to $370 billion, depending
on $400 billion. It's almost getting to like $500 billion. And I think if you take a look at what's happening right now with the COVID things and all the stress mechanisms involved, which is going to accelerate this, I think your number probably within a year or two might be a million people dying instead of 850 or whatever number you were just mentioning there. So it's amazing how much we looking at things, especially like stress and the stress out process. When you do stress out, your immune system goes down.
You know, Scott, let's pick this apart a little bit because it's really important. You know, your practice and my practice, the doctors at the Results Center, we see the prodromals, the predispositions that show up very early on, even as young as teenagers. You know, back in the day when they were doing autopsies on guys that are coming back from Vietnam and so forth, they're finding even then young men, 18, 19, 25 years old, had already significant arterial plaquing. And right. Now we move it ahead another 50 years, and you know, we've seen dietary patterns that are worse than they were back in the day. And, you know, we see stress patterns that are huge. And, you know, this is truly a structural, chemical, emotional platform. So let's talk about, you know, what are the underlying, let's start with the predispositions, if you will, or the gentle symptomological representations that occur when somebody presents with the beginning stages of either cardiovascular or cerebral problems that due to plaquing and due to something that's going to go boom in the night and take them out.
Okay, well, first off, we're talking about something in an arterial system where something's plugging up. I'm not getting oxygen to certain places of the body. You've got a buildup of these things called plaques. So what happens with those? One big one with heart disease that happens, you start going up a couple of flights of stairs and you feel like you're out of breath. That's a big one because your body should be able to handle that, but also you need to handle the requirements or the needs for being able to do that actually start showing up like, I'm out of breath, I have to breathe hard. Sleep apnea is a big one. People have problems getting oxygen to tissues, and if I can't get oxygen to tissues, how am I supposed to feed the body? And that's usually a possible sign that happens there. Slight swelling, maybe get some swelling in the ankle that happens up there. Maybe I have, upon exertion of anything, I just have a little bit of a chest pain or maybe a laryngitis. All these things start showing up. And I think, you know, it's, again, some of the dietary aspects that we're dealing with play a huge part. We're not getting the nutrients into certain places, and, you know, we're not eating whole foods. I think you're a first-generation Sicilian, you know, and you've got...
Yes, you know, I am.
What's that? And
Yes, I am.
One of the things is what are they eating in Italy? I mean, what are they having? And in fact, there's a lot of fats in that dietary element. There's a lot of good quality olive oils, not rancid fats, good quality first pressed olive oils.
That's right.
Maybe some good quality cheeses that are from grass fed animals and
goat and sheep.
Yeah. And it's all about the aspect of not just what you're eating, it's what you're eating has eaten. I hope I said that correctly.
That's exactly the case. And our environment is eating us. But, you know, the truth of it is that, you know, when I go to my father's village in Sicily, and it's high up in the mountains, and I eat food that's there, the flavor, the color, the presentation is completely different. And, you know, when they came over, my dad came over when he was a young boy, he came through Ellis Island, and he came with my grandfather, and the foods that they came here were not the same as the foods that were there in their villages. And unfortunately, the impact, what they saw was westernized disease processes, you know, where they didn't have them there at the rate. Obviously, every area has one. You can always cherry pick it. But they didn't have it at the rate, at the levels that we had here in this country. So subsequently, you know, instead of having honey, now they have refined white sugar. Instead of having the semolina, the yellow flour, now they have refined white flour. Instead of, you know, cooking with olive oil, now they're doing Crisco. And, you know, subsequently the disease process has become much more significant. And today, so many of our foods are chemistry sets. And then we get into, you know, that inflammatory cascade that everybody likes to talk about because of COVID, you know, right? Mm-hmm. But the truth of it is any pattern that causes inflammation is going to cause the arterial beds to be on fire, and that fire has to be put out, and how it puts it out naturally is by putting plaque in it and building it up.
And then anytime you deal with inflammation, you're blocking things up. Fluids aren't moving well. Things are backing up. Relate to your story that a patient I had probably about 7 or 8 years ago came from Italy, was outside of a small village eating the foods from the local area, came to the United States, and within 2 months she gained 40 pounds. And I asked her, are you using the same foods that you did overseas? And she said, you did. But I said, was it organic? Was it local? No, I just, you know, went into the, you know, and got some from the local market. And the difference is that we've got these Frankenstein vegetables, so to speak. Things have changed there.
Right.
And what have they been sprayed on, which, you know, you've got some of the things like Roundup that has a tendency to kill a lot of your gut bacteria. And that's another thing added to this type stuff. And then all the sprayed on herbicides, fungicides, those kind of insecticides. And the body's not processing. She's plugging up, and all of a sudden she's gaining weight. And what's interesting is when she went back home, she lost 10 pounds.
And
came back and gained another 15.
Things, right. You know, there's an interesting book. It's just simply called Nutrition by an MD by the name of Thomas Ballantyne. It's an old book. Goes back probably the better part of 40 years. And there's a glossary, a pictorial representation of people who came from other parts of the world and what they looked like there. And then the twin or the brother, the sister came to this part of the world in westernized society eating the things that, you know, were of this part, and the changes in facial structure and dental arches and color of skin and so forth were unbelievably marked. So when we're talking about cardiovascular disease, we're talking about slow, insidious destruction, deterioration over a period of time that ends up, unfortunately, the first symptom often is death.
Right.
And, you know, and if they catch it early on, then we have the statins. And I want to get into that as we talk about the second half of the program. My guest today, bringing you a very interesting presentation, is Dr. Scott Lamp, one of our brightest in the office. And we're talking about cardiovascular disease, heart disease, strokes, and not only the statistical presentation, but we're going to get into how do you prevent and what you can do. And by the way, Dr. Scott is going to be doing an online presentation this week, and you can have that sent to you. All you need to do is go to rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com. Rosellecare.com, and scroll down about halfway down. You'll see the advertisement for that presentation, and all you do is click, have it sent to you, and you'll have the wisdom of this amazing doctor right there in front of you with your family. Share it if you'd like to educate people. And this is the whole thing. Dr. Scott.
That's great. I'm going to go to everybody's individual house. That's great. I love that.
That's it. They get to look at you. It's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, never mind. That's a different story. You know,
yeah, watch it.
Now I know. Be careful, right? So, but we're talking about, you know, cardiovascular disease. Totals of 3-4 years ago, we're talking $370 billion in damages, and that's to our economy. And, you know, and then that's direct costs is $214 billion. Inpatient care. It's craziness, right? So people need to understand that this is public enemy number one, if you will. You used to call it sugar, but this sugar adds into this as well. But this is what takes people out. And we have, you know, ventricular fibrillation. What I want to get into when we get when we get back into the second part of the program is I want to talk about the neurological connections. I want to talk about how people start getting flutters, and then their doctors say, well, you have to, you know, we're going to put you on a pacemaker to regulate it out, or we're going to put you on metoprolol, we're going to put you on a diuretic, we're going to put you on statins, and how statins actually make things a heck of a lot worse in the long term. We're coming up to the break, and it's important that our listeners understand that what we're talking about is highly preventable and unnecessary at the end of the day. So don't go away. We have some very important data for you. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we're live. My guest today, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're talking about public enemy number one, as it should be classified. Actually, the combination is heart disease and cerebral vascular disease. So heart attacks and strokes. And it's really important that you understand that these disease processes, stroke risks and cardiovascular disease risks, are a modern situation. I mean, it's always been around in certain conditions, but today, because of our stress levels, because of biochemical, bioelectrical insult and pollution to the body. We're starting to see, and starting over the last, if you will, 100 years, starting to see more and more damage. But in the last 50 years, we're seeing it rise exponentially, and there doesn't seem to be too much end in sight. It just continues to get worse. Anyway, Dr. Scott, welcome back. Let's get into this a little bit more. And, you know, the second part of the program, I want to talk about some of the things that people can actually do to help themselves. But by the way, we'd love to take your phone calls. If you're on tons of medications, you want to find out how to get off of them. If there is a way of getting off of them, all you need to do is call us at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to take your calls. Let's talk about the risk levels. And, you know, I want to talk about, a situation where we know in the African-American community and people with dark skin pigmentation have a higher risk of cardiovascular diseases. And they have a higher risk of blood pressure problems. They have a higher risk of anything that's associated with. Why is that, Scott? Why do we see that on such a, you know, across the board basis?
Well, let's talk about COVID. COVID seems to be a higher level there too. And I think one of the biggest vitamin deficiencies we're seeing is vitamin D. And vitamin D actually helps you mobilize calcium. And it seems to be proper for, especially when you're dealing with things like cardiovascular disease, and you want to be able to put calcium in the right place. But calcium, vitamin D is actually a major, major player with that. But it also has to be in combination with some other things, like vitamin K2 is something we're going to mention, especially big on the program on Wednesday, which delivers in the bone. We don't want it trapping or floating around and getting entrapped into tissues, like soft tissues, which could cause plaquing.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, I have a friend, and he's a patient, and someone, I won't mention him by name, but you'd recognize if I did. And, you know, the gentleman is an African-American and a very successful man. And we always kid back and forth, and he came into the office, and he said, why are they picking on my race again? I said, what are you talking about? And he was talking about COVID and, you know, why Black population has a greater risk of COVID, but it's the same situation actually as it relates to cardiovascular disease and high blood pressure, which we know is higher in the United States in the African American community. And the reason for that is because of what you just said, is the vitamin D synthesis. The darkness of the skin is there genetically designed to protect those people from direct sunlight, because that where it comes from is in the tropics, right? In the equator area. So if, you know, you and I, pale face that we are, if we were down there, we would have our butts handed to us. We'd be toast. We'd be, not only we go red, we go to charbroiled.
Right.
That skin, God gave it to them to be able to protect them. So here's the problem. This is a double-edged sword. It's protective there, but up here, they can't produce as much vitamin D, going to what you just said. And that vitamin D has a tremendous facility for, one, immunological protection, number one. That's why anybody that's right now wants to protect themselves from this COVID needs to be on vitamin D. But more also, it protects the body from inflammatory reactions, and that's where a lot of the people are getting in trouble. And the literature's there. It's heavy with it. You just got to look it up.
There's really kind of two types of inflammation that happens, not to go into the details of it. There's something called a TH1 response and TH2 response. Vitamin D brings up your immune system, but it buffers it. It keeps it in control. It's the judge between the two and doesn't let this tsunami wave of inflammation come in. This is like those, you know, you hear about people being in, like, I'm using the COVID example, being in an air, they're on their cell phone in the emergency room, and the next thing, 5 hours later, they got pneumonia, which doesn't really travel that fast unless something is not being there to hold it in check. And vitamin D plays a big part. And, you know, it's interesting. You go into the northern part of the United States, you go to North Dakota, maybe in Alaska and stuff like that, you get more rickets situation, especially in the Black population. Again, it's the vitamin D that's not there because the angle of the sun is so poor at this particular latitude or longitude. You're better at that, trying to figure out what those things are. But going down the equator, you got the same thing. The skin is darker, can actually take it, retain it, use it a lot more. And again, it plays a major, major, major player. And I think in a lot of different things, I see it a lot with depression. You got that because it goes in pathways, affects neurotransmitters, it affects all infections.
We're coming up to a break, and we're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to take your calls. If you're on any kind of medication, you want to know what you can do to kind of transition, if you can transition. I got a story for you when we come back that I think is going to put it all in perspective for you. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. We'll be back in a second. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We have a very interesting program today, one that affects way, way, way too many people. Unfortunately, you know, we're talking about cardiovascular disease and cerebral disease, meaning strokes. And who better than to go over the details with me than Dr. Scott Lamp. This Wednesday evening, you'll be able to listen to Dr. Scott on your own computer or on your own cell phone. All you need to do is go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. RozelleCare.com. And register for the class. We'll send you the link. You go into it and watch it in the privacy of your own home. We're here to give you as much detailed information as we possibly can for you to be able to protect yourself. You know, we watch you around for a while. And unfortunately, when you're talking about public enemy number one, meaning that thing that kills most of us, that we're talking about 850,000 plus deaths a year, or more, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars in cost to our economy. You know, there's Dr. Scott, you know, there's data out there that says that every 40 seconds, somebody in this country is having a heart attack. What's right. that all about?
All everything we just talked about, on top of that, also add the stresses on it. You know, with the COVID, I don't know if that went from 45, from like 50 to 45, or it's actually getting lower. So we got a lot of things going on. We haven't talked much about the stress mechanism that happens, but you think about when you're dealing with stresses, you actually have, you lower your immune system. And what happens, the body doesn't digest well, and you need to have digestive ability to be able to actually get the correct minerals and nutrition into your body to kind of fix things. And it's kind of an interesting thing that, you know, things are just going this way with, the, you know, the politics and whatnot. So let's not go down that road too much. But it's interesting to see that if you can control nutritional aspects, you can control and get a real good handle about how to get yourself to relax a bit in those circumstances. And we haven't talked much about the structural component. There's a lot of things, something called the vagus nerve that you like to talk a lot about. And I guess you've talked about the Latin term, the great wanderer, and it has to do with something called sympathetic and parasympathetic relationships. And what that means is, if I have a lion coming after me, I'm not going to admire its mane and look at its teeth and pet its mane and anything like that. I'm going to run like hell to get away from it. And so the body's going to orchestrate through this nervous system, and it's this vagus nerve touches all the organs, to set yourself to get away. It's all about self-preservation. And if you self-preserve, you've got to be able to get the blood flow to your arms and legs and away from digestive organs. But if you're consistently in that state, you never have a chance to rest or digest, and there's a lot of problems associated with that, and you never can be able to calm down. It's hard to get rid of inflammation. It's hard to handle. You actually create more sugar in the system in your body that helps with diabetic-type problems and other things that break the system down. So, you know, there you go.
You know, it's important that we understand, you know, all the pieces. The vagus nerve comes from the lower part of the brainstem. And it's called the Great Wanderer because it touches every organ system throughout the entire body. It's 80%, we'll say parasympathetic. It's a feedback mechanism to the right. body. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here, and I apologize. Technical difficulties. We lost our signal. I guess that's what happens when we're not broadcasting directly from studio. It's one of those unfortunate things. However, you'll be able to get all the data, all the information that we were talking about. And unfortunately, we were talking. We just don't know you couldn't hear us. But anyway, Dr. Scott will be presenting a really interesting program on cardiovascular and cerebral vascular problems this Wednesday. And to get that, so you can watch the presentation in your own home, and we promise you there won't be a technical difficulty in the presentation, is simply go to RozelleCare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com, RozelleCare.com, and register for it. We'll send you the link. You can watch it, share it, let us know if you have any questions. And always, you know, reach out to us. Let us know what we can do to help you. And, you know, Dr. Scott, you know, unfortunately, we were dropped out for any reason, but we've got another 5 to 7 minutes before we have to say goodbye to next week. So talk us through what's going to happen on the PowerPoint presentation. What kind of information, what kind of data are you going to give them? What will they walk away with?
Looking at the major signs and symptoms and then the subtle signs and symptoms that you might experience for dealing with strokes and things and then heart disease itself. As we progress through that, what can we do to help ourselves? And on the structural part, there's a couple things that we can do. We're going to talk about that. We actually was on early on the program about doing the vagus nerve, and there's some things that you can work with that directly affect that, and some new things that we're doing in the office too that are kind of interest, and I'll talk about those there. Nutrition plays a big part. There's so many different things in nutrition is. And you got to talk. I don't know if we got a chance to talk to them. They heard about the gallbladder thing, but there's a lot of things in digestion. And again, if my heart's not working, I'm not pumping oxygen, or I'm not getting nutrition to these places, all these things interact and come together. So we got to look at the whole body in regards, especially on the nutritional part. And then also the emotional part is a big, big thing too. And we're getting caught where we're not sleeping well. We're not being able to chance to relax. That plays a big part because it adds an additional sugar problem that comes in the form of cortisol that can make everything bad. So we want to look at, okay, how did we get here, and then how to take care of it. That's the key thing. And the majority of it's going to be really like, what can I do to help myself get myself out of this? And, you know, what kind of testing can be done under that too? So we'll look at some diagnostic testing. And even if you need to talk about, I talked a little bit of this small little slide on genetics in regards to those people don't seem to be in that, you know, okay, I don't have diabetes, I don't have that, but my family seems to have heart disease. Is there a genetic predisposition, and what kind of things to look for that?
You know, there's an interesting story. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Jack Wolfson out in Arizona. He's called the paleocardiologist. Great guy. And traditional cardiologist years in the past, and, you know, did all things that normal cardiologists do, the medications, referring him for surgery, pacemakers and so forth, until he met this very young, attractive chiropractor. And they started dating a little bit, and the young doctor said, you know, I can't hang around with you because you don't think the right way. And so she would ask him, how do you think that way? And, you know, so anyway, they went back and forth, and he started to change his ways a little bit, to enough that she married him. So on their wedding day, their reception was an outside reception, lawn reception, and her uncle collapsed on the lawn. So, you know, Dr. Jack, being the cardiologist, goes over and palpates his pulses and yells, you know, call 911. She goes over to her uncle, pulls up her wedding gown, kneels down next to her uncle, and proceeds to give him an upper cervical, upper neck adjustment, moving the vertebrae, the top vertebrae, cervical one. And within 4 minutes, the man was alert and back on his feet. And as Dr. Jack Wilson tells his story, he says, at that point, I knew nothing of how the body worked. You know, it's an important understanding that it's all interconnected. You know, the heart itself has three electrical sources. You know, it has mm-hmm. the pacemaker, it has the nerves from the upper thoracic spine, the chest area, mm-hmm. and it has that vagus nerve. So when you look at it hand in hand, it's critical to understand that the intimacies of chemistry, the stress patterns, the decision-making processes that we have about any organ system and the effect, you know, subsequently, and that nervous system are all part of the puzzle. And unfortunately, we have a tendency in traditional clinical cardiology that to separate everything and look at things as a compartment, and it's not compartmentalization. And I know this week when your presentation, you're going to show people to walk through, it's like, fats are good for you, they're not bad for you, they need to be there.
I think another thing is how to identify compensations. The body is an amazing, amazing vehicle, and the more if you pick up the compensations, and if you're smart enough to look for those small details, That's the key thing that actually helps prolong and makes quality of life. If you start going down a path, how to look at something that's minor could actually be major, and how to understand that. We'll cover some of that on the class on Wednesday.
That's important to really understand the differentiations of what takes place. You know, we're coming up to the end of the program. We'll be here next week bringing you the most important pieces of data to help you preserve your life long term. My guest today, Dr. Scott Lamp. You can reach us at RoselleCare.com. We'll see you then. We love you all. Bye.
Bye.